It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Wolf Banesh, a three. Good!
You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome on in. Monday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Cole Bear. Hope you had an outstanding weekend. Hope your Monday is treating you right. It is June 5th of 2023. Yet another ambitious agenda laid out for the program. However you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Thank you very much for being here. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColeBear. And like the Facebook page. Type in 1650TheFan on the Zuck Machine. You'll find us. Hammer the like button. You'll be all set and ready to go. Make sure you bookmark that website, not only for the stream, but all sorts of local, statewide, and national sports content is there for you. And make it a regular stop for yourself, a daily stop for yourself on the World Wide Web, 1650thefan.com. Save one of these numbers in your phone if you ever feel compelled to call me up with a question or comment to add to the show, 319-277-1918. 1918 319 277 1918, or you can dial 800 913 9479. Or another option, you could email. If you'd rather do that than call, then do it. Email address Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. Questions, comments, or maybe if there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show, by all means, fire away. All right, coming up here in just a few short moments, like usual. We'll start it off with area sports news and scores for your Monday. Plenty to get to in the stack. After we're done there, we'll take our first time out. Begins with a national sports update. And we'll also get you a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas. And a forecast from Megan Mulford for the rest of this Monday, looking into tomorrow and Wednesday. We'll come back in the second segment and be joined by friend of the show, Dargan Southard. Does an outstanding job as the Iowa Hawkeye baseball beat writer for the Des Moines Register. And Dargan was stationed in Terre Haute, Indiana all weekend for that NCAA regional. And of course, the Hawkeyes come up short yesterday in that regional final against Indiana State. Just had their pitching staff blown through earlier in the day in a 13-inning win that they got in the regional semifinal. Against North Carolina to advance to that final against the Sycamores. So that kind of headlines everything, but there's a lot to take from the Hawkeye season, not just this weekend at the NCAA regional in Terre Haute. There's a lot coming back. There's also some very important departures. So we'll break it all down, look back on what absolutely was a historic season for the Iowa Hawkeye baseball team led by Coach Rick Heller. We'll do that with Dargan Southard of the Des Moines Register in the next segment today here on the show. Make sure you follow Dargan on Twitter at Dargan_Southard. Does great work. Read his work at DesMoinesRegister.com. After we're done there, we will take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. Get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim during that break. We'll come back on the other side of Bill Payne, and we'll hear audio from UNI Paralympian Aaron Kirkhoff. Aaron Kirkhoff is a Solon, Iowa native, and late last month was named once again for the second time to the U.S. Paralympic team. She registered first place finishes in the 100, 200, and 400 at the U.S. Paralympic National Championships. Like I said, earlier or late last month, those were held out in California. And if you don't know anything about Erin, which I'm going to be happy to, you know, talk more about her. This is the second time I've caught up with her. She's just such a great young person, and she's got a T13 Paralympic classification due to her, you know, most people, if you got perfect vision, right, it's 20/20. She's got 2400 vision in both of her eyes, but it's good enough where she can run around the track and not just run around it, obviously run around it very quickly. And she's always such a treat to talk to, and was able to catch up with her earlier today as she is getting ready for the World Championships. And it's going to be coming up in July between the 8th and the 17th, the World Para Athletics Championships. Those are in Paris, France. It's going to be her first time in Paris. It's going to be Erin's first time at Worlds. They didn't have them ahead of the 2020 Paralympics that were postponed to 2021 because of the pandemic, as you might imagine. The world's another, you know, victim of the pandemic. So we'll hear audio from Erin Kirchhoff, an outstanding UNI trackster that has once again made the U.S. Paralympic team. The Paralympics coming up next summer, and they're also going to be in Paris, France. And if time permits, we've got some audio from Iowa baseball coach Rick Heller. So if we can, we'll get to that as well in the third segment of today's show. After we're done there, we take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time on a Monday and wrap up the show. So, you know what? I have something I want to get to, but I'll wait until it's in the stack here as well, and I think I'll just get into it when we get there, when we cross that bridge. But first things first, let's get started here. Area sports news and scores for your Monday. Two area teams came up short in championship games at the state soccer tournament on Saturday. Hull Western Christian defeated Grundy Center Gladbrook Rhinebeck 2-0 in the Class 1A Boys State Championship. Just one win away from finishing off a perfect season. Grundy Center Gladbrook Rhinebeck finishes a great, great year with a 20-1 overall record. Meanwhile, in the girls' Class 2A championship match, Dallas Center Grimes stopped Waverly Shellrock 2-0. Go Hawks finished their season 18-2. Three Waverly Shellrock players named the all-tournament team: Anika Ott, Addie Ott, and Anna Stromberg. Meanwhile, this evening in Metro Baseball, all doubleheaders: Cedar Falls hosting Dubuque Senior, Waterloo West hosting Dubuque Hempstead, Waterloo East on the road at Mason City, and Waterloo Columbus at Denver. In Metro Softball doubleheaders, a couple pair of identical matchups here. Waterloo East also on the road at Mason City, along with the baseball team, as well as Waterloo Columbus softball on the road at Denver. Cedar Falls standout shortstop Colin Coonrat has committed to play baseball at Johnson County Community College in Overland, Kansas. Coonrat is a 6'1", 190-pound middle infielder. Last year as a sophomore, hit .381 with 5 home runs, 39 runs batted in, and was second on the Tigers with 45 runs scored. The latest Iowa High School Baseball Coaches Association rankings are out. Top-ranked schools this week: Ankeny Centennial in Class 4A, Western Dubuque in 3A, Mid Prairie in 2A, and Newman Catholic in 1A. No area schools in this week's polls receiving votes: Dyke New Hartford in 2A, and Don Bosco in 1A. As I mentioned earlier, the Iowa baseball team lost to Indiana State last night 11-8 in the Terre Haute Regional of the NCAA tournament. With the loss, the Hawkeyes eliminated from the NCAA tournament. It was the team's first appearance since 2017. Get this, Iowa pitchers hit 10 Indiana State batters in the game, tying an NCAA record. Earlier in the day, the Hawkeyes stayed alive in the tournament, outlasting North Carolina 6-5 in 13 innings. Iowa finishes its season tying a program record with 44 wins against only 15 losses. Sticking with baseball, Eau Claire humbled the Waterloo Bucks 16-0 yesterday in the Northwoods League. The Express outhit the Bucks 15-6 and used a pair of six-run innings to get that big win. The loss snapped the Bucks' three-game winning streak. They're now 3-4 this season. Waterloo finishes the series at Eau Claire tonight. Maya Dodge, who played a key role in UNI softball, winning back-to-back Missouri Valley Conference regular season championships the past two seasons, has announced that she's transferring to Missouri. This past season as a sophomore, Dodge was named the Valley Player of the Year in 48 games, batted .396 with 17 home runs and a school record 68 RBI. She was the MVC Freshman of the Year two seasons ago when she batted .373 with 13 home runs and 34 RBI. The 5'6 outfielder from Hiawatha goes to Mizzou with 2 years of eligibility remaining. And that's the point I wanted to get to that I referenced earlier before diving in here on area sports news and scores. I don't think there should be any hate at all, any criticism at all of Maya Dodge's transfer to Mizzou. She was Valley Freshman of the Year, follows it up as a sophomore, as Player of the Year. Unfortunately, the Valley being not getting at-large bids to the NCAA regionals, and the Panthers coming up short in the MVC tournament the past couple seasons has kept her from being able to play in the postseason. And so I would think it's pretty clear, twofold. Wants to play postseason softball, wants to go challenge herself at the highest level, and goes to the closest SEC school to her home in Hiawatha, down there in Columbia, at Mizzou. I think this is as good of an example of the transfer portal working. So there it is, my two cents on Maya Dodge transferring to Mizzou. Speaking of UNI, the Panthers finished fifth in the Missouri Valley Conference's All-Sport Trophy for the 2022-23 school year. The All-Sports Trophy is based on a school's average finish in each of the sponsored championships in the Valley. During this past 22-23 season, the Panthers claimed conference regular season championships in volleyball and softball, as well as the Valley's volleyball tournament title. UNI also reached the semifinal rounds of both the MVC women's soccer tournament and softball tournaments. Illinois State won the MVC All-Sports Trophy for the fourth year in a row. And in case you missed it last night, Miami outscored Denver 36-25 in the fourth quarter, rallying to beat the Nuggets 111-108 in Game 2 of the NBA Finals. The series now tied at one game apiece. It was the first loss for Denver at home in the playoffs. Game 3 of the series takes place Wednesday in Miami. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, a VSiN action update, and a forecast all coming your way. On the other side, Dargan Southard, Des Moines Register, joins us. We're breaking it all down. Iowa baseball's historic record-breaking season. It unfortunately came to an end yesterday. Dargan joins us to break it down next, right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Brian Fenley.
The NFL, according to reports, is looking into an anonymous Indianapolis Colts player on gambling charges. The team has put out an official note, quote, "We are aware of the NFL's investigation and will have no further comment at this time." Close quote. NFL Network is reporting wide receiver Laquon Treadwell, formerly an NFL first-round pick, is going to try and revive his career with a one-year deal with the Baltimore Ravens. The Bills are signing Rams pass rusher Leonard Fournette to a one-year deal, reuniting him with Von Miller in Buffalo. Both of them were teammates in Los Angeles with the Rams. The Colts have inked wide receiver Breshad Perriman. The Phoenix Suns have inked former Knicks and Grizzlies head coach David Fizdale to an opportunity on the staff as an assistant coach, joining recently hired head coach Frank Vogel on the Phoenix Suns bench.
This is Pat Hughes. Listen to the Chicago Cubs and fly the W right here on 1650 The Fan.
Hi there, Troy with Action Garage Builders. Whether you're looking to build that new garage you've never had or replace that old existing garage, call Action Garage Builders. We can tear down existing garages, install new concrete, and build your new garage utilizing maintenance-free siding, vinyl windows, insulated steel doors, and more. Give us a call at 232-1477. If you need a garage, you need Action.
Maybe I didn't love you, It's a tribute to the country legends with nationally acclaimed tribute artists performing Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, George Strait, and Garth Brooks. It's Corn Country Fest, presented by Veridian Credit Union, coming to the National Cattle Congress Fairgrounds Saturday, July 8th. Do you love me? Bring your lawn chairs and celebrate all things country, including mechanical bull riding. Tickets are 32% off right now, just $23. VIP seating still available and include two drink tokens, meet and greet opportunities, and exclusive seating plus front of the stage area. Corn Country Fest, presented by Veridian Credit Union and brought to you by The Scoop, Deary Brothers Collision, Coyote Classics, Simpson Floor Covering, Dr. Power Sports, Bush Light, Person Kitchen and Bath Design, KWWL News 7, and Families First Counseling Services. Tribute to Willie, Waylon, George, and Garth. Plus, music from Jordy Arnt and the Howlers and Throwback Jack. Corn Country Fest, Saturday, July 8th in Waterloo. Get your tickets now at corncountryfest.com.
This is Brian Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Get insights into the sports betting market with VSiN's Betting Splits. See where the money is and keep updated on how the market is reacting. Only at VSIN.com. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Chicago Cubs are 26-32, but with a +6 run differential, their expected win-loss total 30-28. The Cubs underachieving by 4 games so far through the season. They're a $1.55 dog today at San Diego. Kyle Hendricks for the Cubs. Blake Snell 1-6 on the mound for the Padres, -170, 8.5 under the total at Petco Park. Cardinals another 22 underdog at the Texas Rangers, -132, 9.5 under the total at Globe Life Field. NHL Stanley Cup Final Game 2, Vegas another 40 home favorite against the Florida Panthers. Mike Sunnett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Cloudy skies expected tonight with a low of 63. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow. Highs level off around 85, mainly cloudy. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 60, cloudy. Upper 70s, Wednesday and Thursday, with a chance for scattered storms Wednesday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 88.
Cole & Company on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Monday edition of Cole & Company rolls on, and was connecting with our guest, Dargan Southard of the Des Moines Register there during the break, and I was like, man, hey, we're going on air. We were just having such a good time quickly talking during the break about just really dramatic top-shelf baseball being played at the NCAA Regional in Terre Haute this weekend, and albeit it didn't work out in the Hawkeyes' favor, but Dargan, I mean, you were there in person. What can you tell us in terms of the environment? This isn't your first time, of course, covering regional baseball, or you've been to College World Series before, so just sitting at home in the living room, it seemed to be coming through the television. How about being in Terradice?
Yeah, Terradice was great. The people were great there. The setup was great there. They really, you know, maximized the resources that they had into making the regional as, you know, up to par as possible. And, I mean, it's crazy to think that as much as Indiana State, you know, went 3-0, didn't lose, and did take control of that regional. I mean, they could have easily lost the first game of the entire weekend. You know, it took an eighth inning comeback just to hold off Wright State, not to mention the eighth inning comeback against Iowa on Saturday. And then obviously yesterday was kind of a mess, but an expected mess, but a mess nonetheless. And so, you know, again, Iowa, I feel like there is more disappointment coming out of this regional than there was in 2017 with Houston, just because, you know, this team expected to get to a regional. I'm not sure the 2017 team can necessarily say that to start the year. And Iowa was the 4th seed down there, and they got a win and whatnot. But, you know, I know Rick Heller and Iowa baseball in general don't take these regional seasons for granted because they're very hard to obtain, probably similar to the way you and I basketball fans value their NCAA tournament appearances. You know, they're very hard to get, and when you get there, You know, it's definitely an accomplishment in and of itself. But given how close Iowa was to winning this regional, I definitely think that there's some disappointment and some what if that is coming back to Iowa City.
Follow Dargan on Twitter, at Dargan underscore Southard. He joins us now on behalf of the Des Moines Register, recapping the historic Iowa 2023 baseball season. And, Dargan, you made reference to Sunday, how it was a mess. It was an expected mess after you go 13 innings and get a 6-5 win in that regional semifinal against North Carolina. You advance to the final against Indiana State. They come up short in that one, 11-8. But, I mean, in Rick Heller's wildest dreams, did he think he'd be managing his pitching staff at the level that he was? Because it just... to say all hands on deck, I think, is probably be putting it lightly. I mean, what kind of what's worth breaking down out of what became, like you said, an expected mess?
Yeah, you know, if anybody who follows the NCAA tournament either closely or casually has probably heard the importance of starting 2-0 in your regional.
Yep.
And there's no better case really than Iowa, because if you look at the start that Ty Langenberg gave against North Carolina, I know his line, you know, tacked on some runs at the end, but he pitched very well. If that start comes Sunday night because Iowa won on Saturday night, then Iowa's probably still playing. So, again, once they lost the game to Indiana State, you knew it was going to be an uphill battle, and really all you could hope for was that the offense would just go, you know, nuclear and put up 12 to 15 runs in back-to-back games. Now, they did put up 8, and if you had said to Rick Heller at the start of last night's game, hey, is there a reasonable scenario where all these pitchers can combine to give up 7 or fewer runs?
Yeah.
I think he would have said yes, and I probably would agree with him. It's just that's not what happened. Pretty much close to the worst-case scenario happened, and all these guys, you know, who pitched yesterday pretty much, you know, have reached this point in the season with a lot of mixed results. You know, they've shown flashes, you know, in the case of Aaron Savory and Cade Obermueller, you know, true freshmen. You know, Zach Volker has not started, you know, certainly a game anywhere near that big this season. So, you know, those guys were available at that point in the weekend for a reason. And it's because, you know, as much as a lot of those guys may go on to have, you know, really promising careers at Iowa, you know, it's a tough ask to roll people out there that, you know, aren't used to high leverage innings and really consistent innings at all. And that's not to say that, you know, those guys should have been more ready. It's just, it was pretty clear that as elite as Iowa's top line of pitching is, if they couldn't get it done with those three guys, then it was going to be a coin flip at best. And so, you know, there was hope again that you could get, you know, if one of those guys had been able to string several productive innings together, kind of like what Will Christopherson did out of the pen at the end of the North Carolina game.
Yeah.
If they had just gotten one of those, you know, type of outings, then they might have been able to be okay and, you know, continue to hit. But, again, you know, obviously the 10 hit-by-pitches is pretty absurd, and that's definitely going to be, you know, I asked Rick last night, the guys you threw today and struggled the way that they did, what do you want them to learn from this? And, you know, again, I think being able to attach something as ridiculous as 10 hit-by-pitches to that kind of moment, I think is going to hammer home, you know, the difference between being ready and then getting out and actually doing it. And so, you know, again, if you want to spin it positively, Marcus Morgan and Brody Brett last year probably would have looked a lot like the pitching effort you saw last year. And those guys ended up starting your first two regional games and really put together some pretty good starts. You know, it really is unfortunate that Brody Brett's start on Saturday isn't going to get the recognition that it deserves, because he really went out there and, you know, when Indiana State faced the top-line pitching that it did, you know, he pretty much kept them at bay all the way through. So, again, you know, it's thin lines between advancing and going home in Iowa, you know, from both sides. And unfortunately for them, on the losing side, you know, got that really reemphasized.
I'm glad you brought up Will Christopherson, because I wanted to ask you, albeit it would be weird, it is weird in a sense to ask this, but like hockey style, there's always the three stars at the end of a game. What would you give, or who would you give three stars to for Iowa baseball coming out of their NCAA regional?
You know, I guess I would start with Ty Langenberg. You know, he was a guy who started the Friday, you know, started the season in the Friday role, struggled a bit, got bumped to Sunday, and then kind of slowly built his way back up to the point where his two postseason starts last week in Omaha and yesterday against North Carolina, while factoring in that he took a 105-mile-an-hour line drive off of his arm in the first inning and had to deal with that the rest of the game, I think he was a perfect example of a guy who was playing his best baseball in June when Iowa needed it.
Yeah.
And so I'll start there, and then I'll go a little outside the box on this. Again, another huge moment that unfortunately didn't get the credit is due, but Blake Guerin's two-run homer last night. This is a guy who's a true freshman, probably had about 25 to 30 at-bats on the year, just a couple of starts, didn't have a home run this season, you know, comes off the bench in the 13th, gets the igniter single to start that run. They reward him, put him in the lineup at DH in the nightcap, and what does he do? He hits a two-run homer that was, you know, a big moment in that game, it seemed like. Unfortunately for Iowa, it didn't materialize that way. So that's kind of a prime example of what the NCAA tournament can do for you, you know, kind of giving you that last boost if maybe you didn't have the season that you thought you did. And so I'll go there. And then the third one, I'm going to go Cade Moss. You know, I'm not sure how many people put together, but half of the athletes, the Iowa baseball athletes who were suspended for the sports betting investigation were backup catchers. And so that's not a position that you can just create out of thin air. That's not a position that you can, you know, just put somebody at and hope it works. So, you know, for the last month of the season, Ben Wilmes actually was the emergency catcher.
Wow.
He hadn't caught since his junior year of high school. And then Reese Moore, who was a true freshman and had planned on redshirting the whole year, that's what Iowa had behind Cade Moss. And so that's pretty thin. Actually, that's incredibly thin. And, again, you know, he was a guy who could do a lot in the nine hole down there, and obviously behind the plate as well. So I'll go those three on that one.
Good stuff. Dargan Southard of the Des Moines Register, our guest right now on a Monday edition of Cole & Company, recapping the historic 2023 Iowa baseball season that came to an end in an NCAA regional final against Indiana State last night. All right, Dargan, in calling it a historic season, tied the program record for wins with 44. I see that they broke the record for strikeouts by a pitching staff, broke the record for walks by their hitters, and there's hardly anybody that's graduating off of this team. So, you know, hearing those records, knowing the amount of wins, knowing what they bring back, unless they're going to get dinged really hard by MLB draft picks, what can you tell us about how 2024 looks for Coach Heller's Hawkeyes?
Yeah, and I think that's really where the lingering disappointment of how this season ended is going to make a difference. Because you're right, you know, Ty Langenberg, you know, he's got one more year, but this is his last summer with leverage. So got to think that there's a decent chance he goes. Keaton Anthony, you know, obviously he would be a guy who, you know, if he decided that the draft was probably the best move, that seems pretty reasonable. And then obviously the other big one is Brennan Dorigi. But other than that, you know, yeah, all these guys are going to be back next year. You know, Marcus Morgan, Brody Brett, who's going to be at the top of the rotation in all likelihood. Imagine some portal ads here and there will come into play. And I think, again, this is a team that's in all likelihood going to enter next season with the expectation that this is going to be a regional season. And if that materializes, you know, we're going there to win the regional, and nothing else is really satisfactory. So, this season wasn't easy. You know, it took the best start in program history to conquer a lot of the early obstacles that ended up tripping up Iowa at the end of the year. So, it's, you know, just because everybody's back doesn't mean that it's going to happen again. And the wiggle room to do so is far less than other places. So, but again, you know, I think if you want to view what this tournament did, I think it offered a taste of what could be and how quickly your season changes when you have success in the NCAA tournament and win regionals and stuff like that. So, a lot of motivation, I would imagine, going into next year.
With Brody Brecht in particular, I mean, we saw him hit triple digits throughout the season. Seems to be a good breaking ball there. And when you've got velocity and you've been able to establish yourself in the middle of a college rotation at a Power 5 school, I mean, that's going to be a high draft pick. What's the latest? Because I know earlier in the season, first or second round was being thrown around out there. It seems like maybe that it's cooled a little bit because of some worries about the ability to consistently command the ball. And I think if you were watching this weekend and you watch a lot of baseball, you could see that. Now, all that being said, the talent is incredible, right? So where do things stand with Brody Brecht and whether or not he's in an Iowa baseball uniform next spring?
Yeah, I mean, all the chatter seems to be that he'll be back. Because I know one thing that Rick Heller has mentioned several times, and I tend to agree with him, is this will be the first baseball offseason that Brody Brett has at Iowa where he's not playing football.
Okay.
And so, you know, he will be in baseball mode from the summer all the way through the winter, all the way to the start of the season. And so, you know, I know the coaching staff is very optimistic that that's going to lead to, you know, as much of a jump as he made from, you know, really hardly being able to be used last year, aside from, you know, some midweek action and a desperate situation in the Big Ten tournament, to, you know, consistently maintaining a weekend rotation role and dominating in that, you know, in some starts. I think they know and can see another pretty sizable jump coming with him. So, again, the off season, it's really is tough to especially be a pitcher and have, you know, not really any focus for several months at a time beyond baseball. And so, you know, I think that decision could make a massive difference for him next season.
Dargan, great stuff. Really appreciate you being available regularly for the show here. As the Iowa baseball season just continued to heat up as the months have gone along. So really appreciate that, and we'll be in touch soon. Obviously, college football right around the corner. There's plenty to talk about, but really appreciate what you did for the show with your Iowa baseball coverage.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate it.
Take care. Dargan Souther, Des Moines Register, kind enough to join us on this Monday edition of Cole & Company. Yeah, I'll be interested to see where Brody Brecht is taken in the MLB draft, because if you're unfamiliar at all, it is a lot different than most other drafts, because these guys can go back to school. High school guys can elect to instead go to college if they don't like the financials that get put in front of them. It did change quite a bit not too long ago when they started to slot the amount of money, and there's a pool of money that teams have to spend. So you can spend over slot, on certain guys is what they call it in the MLB draft. Teams can, but then that means you're going to have to, you're not going to have all of your slot money for some other pick. So it sounds like if Brody Brecht, from what I know about the MLB draft, he's going to have to either be a first or second round pick, and he's probably going to have to get money over slot. So that may be where he ends up actually falling and doesn't get drafted in terms of where his talent tells you that he should get drafted, given what Dargan is relaying there. Because teams, if Dargan knows that information, if Rick Heller's putting that information out there, he's got the green light from, you know, Brody Brecht and the people around him to have that information out there that he's planning on returning, because otherwise, you know, there's a leverage game to be played there. So, nonetheless, just a great season, and I really enjoyed watching that NCAA regional all weekend. It was on ESPN+. Hopefully some of you were able to find those games and enjoy them. Coach Heller's just done such an outstanding job with that program, and like Dargan mentions, they bring so much back. There's going to be an expectation to get back to an NCAA regional next season, and 2017 was the last time that the Hawks had been since this past weekend. So great stuff from Dargan. Really appreciate him. We'll take this time out. Radio Iowa Sports during the break with Todd Kim. We come back on the other side. We'll hear from UNI Paralympian Aaron Kirkhoff, the Solon native recently named to the 2023 USA Paralympics team. And they've got Worlds coming up in Paris next month. And if Aaron is fortunate enough and runs fast enough, she'll qualify for the 2024 Paralympics that are also going to be in Paris this time next summer. So we'll hear from her next on this Monday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. John Deere will remain the title sponsor of the PGA Tournament near the Quad Cities. Andrew Lehman is tournament director of the John Deere Classic and says the company has extended its agreement 3 years through 2026. John Deere has been title sponsor since 1997.
They signed the agreement in 1997. 1998 was their first year, even though they didn't have their name on it because they were building TPC Duran. So they've gone through 25 years as title sponsor, and they're now the second longest running title sponsor on the PGA Tour.
The current agreement was set to expire after next month's tournament. There's two new top-ranked teams, the latest Radio Iowa Baseball Coaches Association high school poll. Ankeny Centennial is a new top-ranked team in Class 4A this week. Mason City Newman is the new top-ranked team in Class 1A. The other top-ranked team's the same. Western Dubuque leads in 3A. Mid Prairie's top-ranked in 2A. This is Radio Iowa.
When you don't know who to talk to about alcohol and drug use, gambling, mental health, suicidal thoughts, and more, you can always turn to Your Life Iowa. We are here to help no matter the challenge you may be facing, whether alcohol, drugs, gambling, mental health, suicidal thoughts, or a related concern. With Your Life Iowa, you're never alone. You can call us, text us, or chat with us online 24/7. Start at yourlifeiowa.org. We're your everyday life support.
Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services.
They are our love bugs and companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life better. When we face unexpected challenges, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people and their pets. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Nagel Signs in Waterloo is looking for installers and fabricators who want to take their career to new heights. Nagel Signs is a locally owned and family-run full-service sign company, and we need more quality people who are ready to earn competitive wages and great benefits. Electricians, fabricators, and people with construction skills are encouraged to apply, and we offer on-the-job training for motivated people who want to bring their career to new heights. Visit NagelSigns.com for an application, an equal opportunity employer.
With experts all over the country and a commitment to fully invest in your case, Falkirk & Holm brings you the big city expertise and resources with local knowledge and service that you deserve. A common misperception is that after an injury, you need to hire a large law firm from a bigger city. Our local attorneys have taken on and won against large multinational corporations and forced foreign manufacturers into Iowa courts to hold them accountable. We've secured large but fair settlements against the largest hospital systems in the state and foreign manufacturers for deaths and catastrophic injuries. Our office uses technology to uncover the crucial facts and make large corporations see their risk. We use the same technology to effectively communicate with our clients, saving us time and allowing us to focus on the large legal issues in the most complex cases. For a free consultation, visit BallKirkHolm.com. Ball, Kirk & Holm, helping injured Iowans since 1958.
I'm Roger from Metro Transmission and Auto Repair. We've been servicing cars and trucks for over 35 years, and our customers know us for low prices and quality work. From oil changes to brakes to transmission work, we'll get you back on the road with confidence, and we won't sell you a repair you don't really need. So if your car or truck is not running as it should be, bring it to Metro Transmission and Auto Repair on West 10th between Jefferson and 218 in Waterloo.
First Maxfield Mutual Insurance provides protection for your home or farm you can afford, all backed by friendly hometown service. Their staff knows the area, and for over 150 years, Cedar Valley residents have counted on them for quality protection for farm mutual insurance. Contact First Maxfield Mutual, a Grinnell Mutual member, for all your insurance needs.
First Maxfield Mutual, our strength is your security.
Now, back to more Cole and Company on the Cedar Valley Sports Leader, 1650 The Fan.
Well, the NCAA track and field season is going to be soon coming to a close with the NCAA championships in Eugene, Oregon. However, some NCAA tracksters will compete for their country at the Olympics, and UNI has one of those in redshirt sophomore Erin Kirchhoff, a Solon, Iowa native. She has been named to the 2023 U.S. Paralympic team after first-place finishes in the 100, 200, and 400 last month at the U.S. Paralympic National Championships in California. Kirchhoff competed at the 2020 Paralympics in Tokyo that were postponed a year due to the pandemic, and she has what's a T13 Paralympic classification due to 20/400 vision in both of her eyes. I was able to catch up with Erin again ahead of what's going to be the World Championships that serve as the qualifier for the 2024 Paralympic Games in Paris, and those Worlds taking place as well in Paris. But first things first, I asked the UNI Panther herself, look back on your indoor and outdoor seasons. I know you had some great success. What are you most proud of? Looking back on what you accomplished in the 2022-23 season as a UNI Panther.
Yeah, I would say both my seasons went a lot better than my previous season, so I was pretty happy with indoor and outdoor combined. My indoor season definitely went a lot better. I was really excited. I made the conference final in the 400, and then I also anchored the 4x4 to a third place finish, and we got on the podium. So that was my indoor season at conference. And then outdoor, we weren't exactly in the same place that we wanted to be. I think it was definitely weather had a little bit of a factor in some of the races. But overall, I think it went really well. But I was really happy with making the conference final this year.
I asked Erin, has there been anything specific, whether it be in your training or how you've seen yourself develop as a runner since you competed in 2021 at the Tokyo Paralympics?
I think, honestly, everything's changed. I mean, I'm more mature, I'm older, but I have a lot more confidence in just my abilities. I've changed my nutrition and my diet, and I even changed the weightlifting program. And I think all of that has evolved to how I am the runner I am today. And I've improved a lot since Tokyo. So it's great to see those strides come full circle.
I followed up and said, can you offer some details on, you know, what you've changed with your weightlifting and your nutrition?
Yeah, we have a great strength and conditioning program at UNI. I'm just so thankful that that they take the time and everything they put into it. Our weightlifting sheet was a lot more detailed this time around for this year. I would say, like, our reps and then also our rest in between those reps were very important. When I was a freshman and sophomore in college, I was kind of, you know, I was young and naive, and I was just trying to get through the weightlifting sheet as fast as possible. I just wanted to get in and get out so I could eat. I was pretty hungry after practice. And so this year, I definitely, you know, took the rest into consideration and really, like, paid attention to it. And that was a huge part of building up the strength and conditioning that we do have in the weight program. So I think that was a main thing for me. And then with my nutrition, I actually met with a dietitian 2 years ago. It was right before Tokyo, I met with a dietitian, and they were really talking to me about the different food groups and how, you know, carbs need to be, you know, 1/4 and protein needs to be another third. And it was all, I think about that every time I have a meal now, definitely in season. So it was really important.
I next asked Aaron, you know, when we spoke last before you went and competed at the Tokyo Paralympics in the summer of 2021, hey, what do you think it's going to feel like to compete with USA across your chest for the first time? And she had told me, oh, wow, I hadn't even thought about that. That's overwhelming to even think about. I said, so what was it like? You've now done it, and you can talk about it.
Oh, my goodness. There's, like, no other feeling. It was really amazing, and I was honestly just so honored. So it was a great feeling, and I'm excited to do it again here in a couple weeks when I fly out to Paris.
And how about, what did you take away from competing in the Tokyo Paralympics?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely more prepared this time around, and I know a lot more people on the team, so that always, you know, is a nice little cushion, and that definitely helps. I think just my big thing was for competing is the call room is a little bit different than just one of the meets, like, at college. We have to be in the call room an hour before our race, and that's usually when I start warming up. So taking that into consideration and planning out my strategy for that with my coach is a huge advantage I'll have this time around, knowing what to do in that circumstance.
And continuing to look forward here, as I mentioned before, Aaron Kirkhoff, the Solon native, UNI Panther, got first place finishes in the 100, 200, and 400 meter dash at the U.S. Paralympic National Championships a few weeks ago in California. So I asked, you know, what went into you having all the success that you did a few weeks ago in Cali?
Yeah, thank you. That was really exciting. It was actually, I did that meet a weekend after conference. We had our conference meet on NBC's the weekend before, and so I flew out to San Diego right after that competition. And so I didn't exactly know how it was going to go, just because I knew I had competed the weekend before at a pretty big meet, obviously. But I was really happy with the outcome. I definitely want my times to get further down. I know I can run faster than what I ran at Nationals, because I had been running faster during the season, my college season. So I think just having that extra little meet, not that it's a little meet, but extra little competition will be a really good start and to propel me forward to know that I can hit the times that I want to when I get to Paris.
So World Para Athletic Championships coming up July 8th through the 17th in Paris. And I asked Aaron, this is going to be your first experience at Worlds since they were canceled due to the pandemic last Olympic season. So what, if anything, do you know to expect out of what's going to be another new experience for you?
I honestly don't know what to expect while I'm in Paris, so I'm kind of just going in with an open mind, but my training is all the same. I've been working with Coach Paulson every single day since I got back from Chula Vista, San Diego. So the training's still there. I'm still lifting 2 times a week and just trying to really prepare myself mentally and physically for it. But I don't even know what to expect. I really want to see the Eiffel Tower. I know that's, like, on my to-do list.
When she told me she wanted to see the Eiffel Tower, I asked her, what else do you want to do? You going to learn any French? You going to enjoy some food? What do you think?
Yeah, I hope we can do some sightseeing, because this time around, it's not COVID. When I went to Tokyo, you know, COVID was still very much a thing. It was, you know, very important that we did not go anywhere, didn't go outside. We had to wear masks everywhere we were at. So I'm just actually excited to experience the country this time around and hopefully get to see a little bit of the culture. And I am going to try to learn, like, a few phrases in French so I can at least maybe order something at a restaurant. So that's also on my to-do list.
And finally asked, what can you tell us about what you're going to need to do at Worlds to qualify for the events that you compete in? Hopefully for the 2024 Paralympics also in Paris.
I just realized that the other day that this is a qualifying meet for the Paralympics. So that's super exciting, but also comes with a little bit of extra pressure. I'm really planning, my goal is to really just medal in the 200 and 400. I think I have a pretty good chance, and I would really love to do that, and I think that would help me qualify for the Paralympics in 2024.
There you have it. Audio from an exclusive conversation just earlier this afternoon with UNI redshirt sophomore track and field star Aaron Kirkhoff, Solon, Iowa native, a member once again of the U.S. Paralympic team, will compete at Worlds in Paris next month. And if everything goes according to plan, Aaron will be competing a summer from now, a year away, in the 2024 Paralympics, her second time in the Paralympics, and those as well in Paris, France. All right, let's take this time out. NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's above the noise commentary during the break. Then we come back for a final time on a Monday and wrap up the show.
I'm Amber Theo Harris with NFL Network now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Jaguars head coach Doug Peterson sees Trevor Lawrence's strong end to year two as the blueprint for success in 2023. Peterson recently saying on the Rich Eisen show, quote, the next step is for Lawrence to put everything together, playing with the confidence he had to end last year. Lawrence earned his first Pro Bowl bid in 2022 after career-high numbers in completions, passing yards, and passing touchdowns. Meantime, Commanders wide receiver Jahan Dotson already senses a difference in Washington heading into the season, and he attributes the shift to new offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy. Dotson telling the Washington Post, quote, he's brought a sense of energy. It's been really good just being able to learn from him and just get familiar with the things he wants us to do and the things we want to do. And running back, James Conner doesn't seem to care much if nobody believes in the Cardinals this upcoming season. Conner tells The Athletic, quote, that's the exciting part, to prove people wrong. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One.
Knutson Chiropractic in Cedar Falls has proudly been helping the community for three generations. I'm Aaron Knutson. At Knutson Chiropractic, we want to help you achieve your full health potential. We want to not only add years to your life, but add life to your years. If you're young or old, a weekend warrior or a couch potato, we can help your aches and pains. Give us a call or text us or visit us online at KnutsonChiropractic.com. Always up front so you can leave the pain behind. Knutson Chiropractic in downtown Cedar Falls.
When you're up in your sprayer, working your soybean fields, where are you looking? In front of you, so you don't roll into a ditch? To your sides, to see how the boom is doing? Over at your monitors, down at your phone? Probably all those places. But there's one more place you should look. Straight ahead, into the future. Because how you're farming now will affect how you're able to farm over the next few seasons. If you're only using one side of action, weeds will only become more and more resistant to your preferred chemistries. That's why, if you've made the smart decision to plant Enlist E3 soybeans, don't stop there. Protect them with Enlist herbicides. Their superior tank mix flexibility easily allows for multiple sites of action. Together, you're able to better protect your soybeans and manage resistance beyond this season. Visit Enlist.com to see what a better weed control system can bring to your fields. Now, and tomorrow.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The Miami Heat have been proving doubters wrong all year long. And in fact, for years. Back in 2020, Miami shocked the league after making it to the finals as a 5 seed in the bubble. 2022, the Heat were a Jimmy Butler made three away from knocking off the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. After slipping to an 8th seed due to a rocky regular season and being given just a 3% chance to win the Eastern Conference Finals by ESPN Analytics, Miami's now tied at a game apiece with the Nuggets in the finals. When you look at that Miami roster, it's hard to paint the team as an underdog. Butler has emerged as a star in the playoffs. Kyle Lowry won a title with Toronto. Bam Adebayo has made 4 all-defensive teams. And Miami's filled with players who excel at playing complementary basketball. And with an experienced coach like Eric Spoelstra on the sidelines, if we've learned anything over the past few seasons, it's you can never count out the Miami Heat. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, that's also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. No, Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see the terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match. You know our partners, TireRack.com, you know, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, tire decision guy. They test the tires. They've got their own test track where they push tires to the limit. Yeah, those guys. You want a quiet tire with great traction, comfortable ride. Use their results to make an informed choice. They sell only the best, like the full lineup of Pirelli tires. Go to TireRack.com/Dan. See for yourself. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app.
Yeah, welcome back for a final time on this Monday. Thanks so much for being here. Got to thank Dargan Southard of the Des Moines Register, as well as UNI Panther and United States Paralympian Aaron Kirchhoff for their contributions to today's show. Cubs baseball coming up tonight here on The Fan. The series finale in San Diego against the Padres. 7:35 pregame, 8:10 first pitch. The professor, Kyle Hendricks, on the bump tonight for the Cubs. Tune in to Maximum Mornings tomorrow, 6 to 8. I'm back tomorrow at 5. Have a great night, everybody.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.